Hello and welcome to another edition of the Legal Geeks. We are here today at the beginning of 2019. Very excited about this year. But before we let go of 2018 completely, my fellow blogger, Josh Gilliland, and I need to talk about the highlights of the very, very, very long year that was 2018. Hey, Josh, how are you?
You know what? I'm recovering from the 30 years that comprised 2018.
Do I say there were Olympics in 2018? Somebody talked about that. I'm like, no, I don't think there have been Olympics for a good 5 or 6 years. That's how much I aged in the past year.
Yeah, I do have some more gray. And it was an exciting year at times where the news is a contact sport and emotional abuse.
Yes.
And yet we can't turn away because, you know, we live here and we need to know what's going on.
Oh, it is just a horrific car wreck that you can't take your eyes off of. But we survived 2018, and as one of my goals for 2019 is to be more positive, which is a little bit easier today on January 3rd, I have to say. Good news today, so I'm feeling a bit more positive today. But in looking back at 2018, even through all the turmoil and, yes, some real punches to the gut that our government threw at us, there was also some really great stuff. Mainly in pop culture, really not in government or politics at all, but at least in pop culture, there was some good news. Actually, and I take that back. There was actually some really good news later in the year during that election time in 2018. But there were also some great pop culture moments. We had some great kind of legal geek moments. So we're here to focus on the positive. So if I start to veer into dark territory, Josh, pull me back, okay?
I love and respect you, and it's okay if you express your feelings about current events.
That's a whole different, you know, podcast where there's just a lot of angry ranting and cursing, so. But again, not today. January 3rd, very good day, so I'm happy today.
That is good. That is good. So there's a lot. There's a lot of pop culture to talk about, and there was a lot of activities that we did that I want to talk about. And you know, let's start with what I thought was super fun. Solo. I loved it.
Look at that. Probably not topping too many best of lists for 2018. So I love this curveball. Go ahead. Why is Solo topping your list?
It was a fun Star Wars movie. Anytime we get Star Wars on the big screen is a good day. And it shows you don't need the Death Star in a movie. You can have something that's like multiple chase scenes and have a little of everything. I love the actors in it. And I walked out feeling happy. And that was a great, great feeling. So that I'm going to put Solo right there to start with.
And nice. I have to say, I, you know, went in with very low expectations and really only saw it because of reasons that I'm sure we'll be talking about soon for the Legal Geeks. So it's kind of seen it under protest, but maybe with those low expectations, it worked because I do have to say I enjoyed it far more than I thought I would. First of all, just having Chewbacca, I'm like, you know, even if we just have Chewbacca as kind of a through string through all of these movies, that helps. And it really did make me appreciate, and you also saw this in The Last Jedi, I'm like, okay, the Millennium Falcon is officially a character in the Star Wars universe. And I get chills from the Millennium Falcon. Like, you know, it is more and more. I'm like, I really do appreciate that. And getting to see Solo and Chewbacca take the helm for the first time was very cool.
She's a beautiful ship. And the first time that Han and Chewie look up at the Falcon and the music's swelling, it's like, yeah, yeah. Plus, you know, Donald Glover as Lando just, you know, embodied cool. So there was just, it was just fun. And
he was awesome. And those capes were great.
You know, I've been meaning to accessorize and I just, not with a cape, but you know.
So you can have a whole, you've got bow tie law. Now you can be like cape law, like you get different kind of niches based on different accessories you wear.
Exactly, because people would gravitate towards that, and be, I'm sure the response would be very, very positive. I also wonder that when you think to Last Jedi and Chewie's response to, you know, the Porgs looking at him when he was about to chow down on Porg, Did he start seeing the faces of the Imperial prisoners he was forced to eat? Is he haunted by them? Is that why he kept the pork as pets, out of guilt from his incarceration on in that Imperial prison camp where they fed him prisoners?
All right, you just got dark fast. I never really thought about that too much. I honestly didn't think too much about the whole Chewie and what he was doing down there. And now I'm very disturbed by that. So way to even like pollute pop culture for me, Josh.
I'm here for you. So this is what I think about. It's like, wait, he ate people. When he closes his eyes, does he see their faces? Like, how does he feel about this?
Wow. Okay, that is really gross. All right, well, now because I'm totally, like, creeped out by that, I have to talk about my highlight from 2018 pop culture, which, quite frankly, is way more mainstream than yours. But I love it. I still think about it all the time. Black Panther is still, it blows me away. One of the most amazing things on so many levels. And of course, I probably am thinking about it a lot right now because we're starting with award season. I hear that some of the cast will be presenting at the Golden Globes, which, while I love the Oscars, the Golden Globes are the most fun because they drink during the ceremony. But yeah, so obviously I'm rooting for Black Panther to get a Best Picture nom and for Michael B. Jordan to get a Best Supporting Actor nom. So I'm probably thinking about him again because of that. But what they did with Black Panther and the levels at which they operated, it's just so amazing. And it just blows me away still.
It is an exceptional film.
Yeah.
So it's hard not to love that movie. And they took a iconic character and they ran with it, and it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun, but to me, what was also so amazing about it is it really did, and I like the Avengers movies, and we can talk about all that, and I loved Wonder Woman in kind of a different way, but I really do feel with the Black Panther that they took it to an entirely different level too, which is why I feel like this is the superhero movie that should get that Best Picture nom. And just, you know, and all the actors and the sets and the design and the costumes, and just there was so much thought and so much history, so much work at every level that's, you know, again, it's not just ooh, a big superhero movie and all the impressive work that goes into any of them. It is just operating at another level. And that's why I just continue to just be like totally blown away by it.
So this raises the question, because thinking about the act Chadwick being on Saturday Night Live, does your potato salad include unnecessary ingredients such as raisins?
Wait, I miss this. I kind of totally rejected SNL this year. I really can't deal with it. I loved it a couple years ago. Now I'm sick of it. I miss that.
So
I need to explain the joke.
Go watch that episode, and specifically the Black Jeopardy segment where where they have Black Panther on Black Jeopardy, and just take it from there. Just take
All
it.
Right.
From,
oh, that's too funny.
It's exceptionally well done.
They get Will Ferrell. Will Ferrell wouldn't be the host, and who hosted it? Game show host.
Yeah, why am I blanking on his name? He's been on
SNL. Kenan Thompson, who also plays Steve Harvey.
Yeah, who's been on been on Saturday Night Live for like, 17 years now?
I think he's like maybe the longest running cast member now, but he's so awesome. And I'm not like Steve Harvey, whatever, I don't care. But his Steve Harvey that he does for that Family Feud is one of my favorite characters. I'm like, I just love that. And I love Kenan Thompson.
You'll enjoy the sketch. So let's just leave it at there. You'll enjoy the sketch.
All right. I'll have to check that out.
So let's pivot to last March, when we were at San Diego Comic Fest and we did our mock competency hearing for Frankenstein's Creature. And that was so much fun. And we based it off of the scenes from the original 1931 Frankenstein, which tons of
that
fun
is just so cool. Sorry. Yeah, no, that is just so awesome. Can you remind me again who did that with you? Because I wasn't able to do that. Who did that with you? Let's give them credit.
Bunch of law students. And nice. There were, so the majority of them were from Golden Gate in San Francisco and one from Oregon. And they did a really nice job. It was basically two issues. And with there was the competency hearing for the creature and whether or not he should be tried as an adult or a child, and whether he was legally competent to stand trial.
Good question.
And then for the, Dr. Frankenstein, with bringing the criminal equivalent of a motion to dismiss for being charged for contributing to the delinquency of a minor. Because you look at the creature, it's like, that's not a child. And you posed wonderful questions. Judge Carol Nahara presided.
Oh, right. Awesome. A Comic-Con favorite of ours.
And just to see her in action, I mean, she put the Menendez brothers away when she was a DA. You know, she's got chops. And it's you know, you see her at a show, and it's just, she's in game mode. It's like, this is fun. Her and her husband are uber nerds. They've been going to Comic-Con since the 80s. He collects books, and they're just a wonderful couple to spend time with. And then to watch her on the bench and interacting with law students who made fantastic arguments. They were solid. And there was a cosplayer there dressed as the creature. And she dealt with the prejudicial issue of people calling, do you refer to him as the creature or the monster? And saying, no, you cannot call him the monster. More importantly, the court will name him Bob, because and she talked about the legal precedent for courts being able to name people who don't have names, so that way they're to humanize them.
Cool.
It was a great trial, and one of the audience members apparently worked at Marvel back in the 80s. I don't remember if he was an artist or a writer, but afterwards he ran down and chatted with the organizers and said, like, it was the best panel he'd ever seen at a show, which again is, that feeling to run around and do high fives. And, the local PBS station interviewed us, and it was just, it was so much fun. And when we go back, because March is coming up fast, mm-hmm. we've already recruited the students for a Batman-themed mock trial. Since it's the 80th anniversary of Batman.
Wow.
We're using the 1989 graphic novel Arkham Asylum, in which Harvey Dent, Two-Face, is one of the patients there. And they decide to, quote, treat him, end quote, by taking away his silver dollar and then giving him dice so he can't make decisions. And then they ultimately give him tarot cards. Well, in the story, like, he's under the desk and peed his pants because he can't make decisions.
Yeah.
Well, is that cruel and unusual punishment?
Right.
And it'll be a wonderful argument, because both sides actually can forcefully argue with good faith that it's treatment, because there are cases from the 70s dealing with prisoners getting ECT that says that's treatment. It wasn't done to torture them. It was done to treat them. Versus the other line of cases with, like, horrific psychiatric wards torturing people.
Mm-hmm.
So there's wonderful case law for them to slug out, and we'll do it as a summary judgment motion.
Ah.
So with the Arkham, the state arguing, no, everything we did was fine, and we'll have dueling psychologists slug it out as well. So I'm excited about that.
All right. This may be what I think they call a log roll now, but seriously, law schools across the nation, you should hire Josh to put together these mock trials, because these are freaking amazing. And think of what these students, they still have great legal experience, but what a story to tell then. Holy fudge.
Thank you. It's part of the, thinking back to my experience, you had, the moot court teams, a lot of them were like beyond type A students.
Yes.
Like, there was no off switch.
Yes. No.
Hyper competitive. And I remember looking at a bunch of them going, like, yeah, no, I'm out. I don't need that. And a lot of the students that we've had those who've done moot court or mock trial or whatever their school calls it, and they do very well. Then we have the students who, like, went, I'm out. I'm not playing that game. And this is their mock trial experience in law school.
Which is pretty freaking cool.
The fact we can do civil cases and, you know, jump into more issues. Because at the high school level, all of the mock trial cases at the high school level that I mentored were all criminal.
Yeah.
And I got tired of that fast.
Yes.
And sure, we've done criminal ones as well, but I really like doing civil or being able to jump into hearings, which was the one challenge that a bunch of the students had last year.
Yeah.
They all had mock trial experience, or most of them had mock trial experience, but they all were like wanting to convict people. It's like, okay, this is a competency hearing.
Right.
Okay. The doctor brought a motion to dismiss. You're not putting him away yet.
Right.
Arguing that element. So throttle back.
Yes. Dial it back a little.
It's like, and know what you're arguing. So there's a little bit of that. And that's where mentoring comes in, because they don't know. I mean, they only know the experiences that they've had.
Yes.
Comic Fest was a rip-roaring good time.
Oh, good. Well, and then in May, I guess that'd be the next one, I did the Escape Velocity Con in outside of D.C. with Professor Mark Limley and Nari Ellie, who's an attorney, I think at Kirkland and Ellis, and then Charles Hildebrandt, who is an attorney, and he has serious geek credentials because he's also the lawyer for the Museum of Science Fiction, I believe. He can talk Dune stuff with me all day long, and it's very cool. And his dad did the original artwork for the Star Wars movie poster, right? The iconic one where Luke, probably the stealthiest picture of Luke Skywalker ever, has the lightsaber above his head, and it kind of has all the cast of characters around him. It looks like there's a light coming out of the lightsaber. I think Princess Leia is kind of at his feet. And so he has amazing stories about actually getting to go to the premiere of Star Wars when nobody really knew what this was in New York. So yeah, it is. And he actually has like the original tickets and all kinds of stuff. It is very cool. And he's just a ton of fun. They all were. And so we spoke there on Star Wars related issues. And I mean, really got to, because it was a smaller event than like Comic-Con, we really got some time to really get in some back and forth with the audience. There was one little boy who was 10 or 11 who had just a series of fantastic questions. He's going to have to be a blogger for us in a few years. But that was a lot of fun and kind of neat to do the opposite end of the spectrum from the huge Comic-Con to kind of get this much smaller, but still a lot of really dedicated geek fans there together to talk about these things.
Yeah, and those pictures looked awesome.
It was a good time.
Awesome. Well, we both did Nerd Nights this past year.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that, too.
So I did Nerd Night East Bay, which was in Oakland, then San Diego, and then San Francisco. All Star Wars law. And Star Wars always fills the room. It was just so much fun going to each one. Each one has its own vibe and, you know, and sense of it. And it's a good time. And like, they're all different. The Oakland is in this super fun gay bar.
Ooh, and nice.
And
the
screens, just, I mean, the green room in the back. I mean, it was just awesome.
Wow.
And they did nice posters, which were up on the wall that it's like Lady Justice as a Jedi. It was just like, hot damn, this is so much fun. San Diego was at a microbrewery, and it was outdoors. And that was a little rough, but that was lots of fun. And Judge Devin, our friend, came with his wife, and the folks from Comic Fest were there as well. It was a wonderful evening. And then San Francisco at the Rickshaw Room, or Rickshaw in San Francisco, awesome room. It's a, like a concert venue. It's like two levels, a great green room. And they had a grilled, like gourmet grilled cheese sandwich outfit doing dinner. It was super tasty. So my friends in the Coast Guard were there, and you know, I was able to just have some fun, like talking about Governor Tarkin ordering the destruction of Alderaan, and saying, you know, it's kind of like him saying the only way to stop the rebels is to go after their families. And wouldn't that be terrifying if we had a politician say things like that? And everyone laughed and then was quiet and hugged each other. But, you know.
Yeah. Oh, wait. That is what we have. And then we all started crying.
It's okay. Safe place. Safe place. Heroes are going to win. Heroes will win.
We're just in the Empire Strikes Back phase of our life right now.
It's okay. Mueller's got it. It's going to be okay. And
the Ewoks will help us. We just need some Ewoks.
I trust the justice system and whatever Ewoks of justice there are. But that was, all of those were a ton of fun. What was your Madison one like?
It was very nice, much more kind of low-key than yours, but it's at a great bar. I think it's a High Noon Saloon, but kind of they have music venues there, so they have a stage. They did have a screen, but other than that, you know, nothing fancy. And it's sort of interesting, the guy before me actually did one on biomimicry, which I found fascinating. And he did a very good job and was very funny. So I was like, oh, it's going to be hard to follow this. But the audience, and I don't know about with your nerd nights, but obviously I had a good spot to go in because everybody had a little bit to drink because it is a bar. But they were not full on intoxicated, which came for the last guy who did it. Like, he was pretty intoxicated and basically had this thing with some world championship of poker game. It was very funny, but I kind of was in that sweet spot in between. And again, did the Star Wars law. I think it was actually right before I went to DC, actually. So it was pretty much a lot of the same issues, but it was very well received. Everybody seemed to love it. And I had a ton of fun. I was told that was, I guess, at least here, and I keep meaning to go back, but I've been so busy that I haven't had a chance, that they said the Nerd Nights, you know, some of them are awesome and some can be a little bit drier and duller. And they said that I was highly entertaining. So what can I say? I heard I was awesome, but, you know, I'll just have to take their word for it.
If I could get your autograph, that'd be great.
I'll mail it to you.
I appreciate that. We did, I forgot, I also did LA, where I did Infinity. Oh, yeah. Infinity Law, and I was the last one. I was speaker three.
Oh.
So I did four Nerd Nights this year.
Dang. And you're like on a nationwide tour practically at this point.
Autographing babies. And they are such a wonderful experience, bringing mm-hmm. together smart people who do their TED Talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the Nerd Night LA had paleontologist and a geologist each.
Woo!
And both were sassy, fun, and packed full of facts. And especially both were good. I enjoyed the paleontologist a lot because, you know, in my childhood in Altadena, getting to go visit the La Brea Tar Pits, I've always enjoyed mammoths.
Sure. Yes.
But it was a ton of fun. So, and on January 5th, Thomas Harper is doing Nerd Night New York.
Woo! Star Wars Law?
Yes.
Nice. Oh, that will be a good one.
Yes. And I hope he records it. I will text him beforehand and ask him to record it or video it, because it would be fun to see that. And I hope some of our I hope some of our New York friends can make that, because there's... granted, New York's huge and getting across town's exhausting, but whether it's, you know, Joe Trino or Jerry O'Brien or Roger Aguilar, you know, it would be fun if they could go see Thomas. So.
It should, 'cause I do say Thomas knows both his law, especially obviously more of the criminal military law stuff, and my gosh, does he know his Star Wars too. So, and yes, I say, you know, I'd never heard of Nerd Night before you, but they are just in general just a lot of fun, a very fun, entertaining way to learn about a new subject from somebody who's really an expert in it. So yes, I need to get back to those. Maybe now my trial is over and the holidays are over, I can go check one out. I'm putting that on my to-do list.
And she's literally writing as we speak. So,
If I don't do it now, I'll forget.
yeah, I'm that way too at times. It's like, oh, I needed to email that dude. I feel bad now. Yeah. So I'll throw in, San Francisco Comic Con was a lot of fun. It was in Oakland, and we had three panels on Friday and Saturday, and on so we did Universal Monsters, Kaiju, and Star Wars. And the second time we did Star Wars, we had Sylvia LaRosa, who did our Winter Soldier mock trial when she was a law student. She's now a DA in Sacramento. And we also had Claudia Gray, who's written several Star Wars books, who used to be a lawyer. And so after day one, I went by her booth and to say hi. And she commented, she's like, yeah, I'm really hurt. Like, the organizers didn't ask me to be on a Star Wars law panel. And I said, well, would you like to tomorrow? I said, we'd love to have you. You're more than welcome. And she's like, well, let me think about it. So I gave her my card, went home, and by the time I got home, she'd emailed yes that she would like to be on it.
Woohoo!
And we recorded that one. She was fun, and that was just so much fun to be able to chat with her. And Thomas asked, I asked for Thomas for some questions to ping her with, and his question was, what characters would she use in the Star Wars legal drama? And she like pushed back from the table and went, oh. And it's like, so hopefully something comes up. And I got her, I know Thomas and his wife just had a baby. So I got the Leia Princess of Alderaan book and had Claudia autograph it and sent that
Nice.
as the newborn gift to them. So
Very nice.
she was a ton of fun.
Very cool. And then, of course, we have to talk about the big one, right?
Let's do the lead
Or
up
did I
to
miss
the
one? Is there one other I missed?
WonderCon, where we did
Oh yeah.
R2D2 and C-3PO suing for discrimination. And that was, again, 500 people. It was so much fun. We did Kaiju Law there, and Matt Weinhold, our friend from Monster Party, moderated it. And it was just a great show. And we'll send out pitches this week for their next one and hopefully get in.
Oh.
And then the big
Dum,
show.
dum, 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 dum. Comic Con, baby. The Comic Con. I was correct. You're like, oh, like Comic Con, like the one in Chicago. I'm like, no. The Comic Con, San Diego.
The
The
ones
big
that
one.
won
For our
that,
what? Huh?
the ones that won that lawsuit. So,
That's right. So our third year running, right?
yeah, yep. Third, such a great show. We had three panels,
Yeah. And
and we
all in the big room, not
two.
the Hall H, but.
So Friday's Star Wars Day, Star Wars programming all day long. We had two of the panels.
Yeah. In
So
the big room again, the big conference room.
it was so much fun. It's like both times we had 500 people there.
With people standing in line, not to brag, but just saying.
With judges and lawyers not being able to get in. And it was so cool. I mean, we did judges on Last Jedi and Solo.
Yes, which was very fun. The only sad thing I will say is because of work conflict, at the last moment, the judge who's been with us there from the beginning, he Judge Grewal, now Vice President of Litigation, something something at Facebook, could not be there. So that was he was missed because he is always a ton of fun at those things. And this is the first year we did it without him.
There was a disturbance. It felt weird, and it threw off our timing just a little bit. It gave us more time for questions.
That's right.
If he had been there, it would have been perfect. It would have been like the right amount of content and the right amount of questions. And this did give us more audience interaction than we've ever had. And we had kids asking good questions, and it was fun being able to see judges, interact with people, and that was cool. It
I
was
think
really
that is one of the neatest things. I mean, how often do people get to ask, not just judges, but these are top judges, big state court, big federal judges, Ninth Circuit judges, get to ask them legal questions. I think that is, yeah, a really unique opportunity.
so much fun. And then we did the mock trial of, you know, the mock court-martial of Poe Dameron.
Which blew up. You've got to talk about that a bit, right? I mean, that was obviously huge in the room.
So there's the 500 people there, a standing ovation at the end. The YouTube video of it has had over 10,000 views.
Woo!
You know, the fact that Rian Johnson acknowledged our existence on Twitter was a good thing. And Pablo Hidalgo tweeted out that this is what, you know, panels should be, you know, not just 30 seconds of people cheering at a preview, but, you know, like we offered real content. The articles written about us, and there was the beautiful one in Sci-Fi, which, you know, said by Brian Young, Full of Sith, who said, people should demand that we attend, cons and put on panels, which I thought, Brian,
You should demand and pay.
Or at least cover expenses, you know, like,
yes.
He needs to get a thank you card. And then a wonderful author at IO9 said that we were the best panel in the history of Comic-Con, which I thought, wow. And that, our mock trial was, like, now her, favorite Star Wars movie, Waiting Until 9. I was like, okay, that's a, thank you. That's super sweet to hear that. So it was nice to see.
But what else? One more part, too.
Yeah, the fact that Oscar Isaac acknowledged us in an interview and talked about what we did.
That's freaking cool.
It's because the fact he had heard about it.
Yeah.
It's like, I wonder how that went down. Hey, Oscar, did you hear about this? What? But his quote about, you know, like, this is complex issues, and they did more than just, like, you know, like, go past it, but actually to dive in and talk about it. It's like, so.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. And also, getting back to the merits of it, it was just a really... In the actual movie, Poe Dameron did skate by with, like, really no consequences for all the horrible things he did. So it was also just, it was a necessary addendum to that movie.
Yeah, he got over 400 people killed.
Yeah, and just nothing. He's cute. We still like him. Like, look, cute should only get you so far. It's not get you that far. Although Oscar Isaac is very cute.
Yes, I will never be that good looking, and I accept that. But that's not a license to just get people slaughtered.
No.
Yeah, the fact that Christine Peake's mom made us costumes.
Aww.
So which added to the look.
Yes.
You know, and exchanging emails, figuring out, hey, where do we get boots? And it was just so much fun, which means I guess we'll have to do that again. So that means if we do a time, you know, different time period, it's like, ooh,
costumes. Yeah. Maybe you need to do one for Chewie.
I'll send you the script for something that I wrote, and I will not say anything else about that.
Stay tuned. That was a teaser trailer for something coming.
If I could pull that off for May the 4th, that would be super cool. But that's still a lot of work between now and then. But that would be bitching. That would be bitching.
It would be, and you are very prolific, I will say.
Thank you. Which then brings us to the end. And that was Bowtie Law celebrating its 10th anniversary.
That's right, which is, of course, how we met each other, because of Josh's creativity and wit when talking about e-discovery law. And let me tell you, that's pretty hard to do. So that's right. Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Yeah, it's like we wouldn't be here without that, especially the post about Judge Fasciola saying it's high noon and I'm Gary Cooper. And
your little toy, like, cowboys that you had.
Those were stock photos. That was before I started collecting. Don't worry. I'm doing okay in the toy department now, which, again, I'm in my 40s. It's okay if I own toys.
That's right. It's now cool.
I like my Godzilla action figures. They're neat. I plan to get a display case soon. So, what are some of your hopes for 19?
Well, Captain Marvel obviously is one I have big hopes, you know, big concerns about. I mean, Marvel finally is going to have a movie starring a female lead. And I say Captain Marvel is not one I knew much about. I've been reading a bit about the woman who kind of took the Captain Marvel storyline over and really, you know, even sunk her own money, I think, into some of the merchandise and everything, really is responsible for kind of creating the Marvel that is the phenomenon that is Captain Marvel. And yeah, and I have to say the trailers have made me very excited. It's all kind of freaky just in general, this 90s nostalgia now, because I'm like, whoa, that's a sign I'm old, because that was my time, and now there's all this nostalgia for it, so that's really weird. But I'd say that is one of the things I am really looking forward to. That and the Oscars, and well, the Oscar nominations. I don't think Black Panther's going to win, but they better get a Best Picture nomination.
I would hope so. And the fact Shape of Water carried the day last year, it's entirely possible because it, you know, they money makers have pulled it off before, whether it's Return of the King or Titanic. You know, it's entirely possible for a film like that to get nominated and win. I would add, you know, this Infinity War.
Is that coming? I'm honestly, I have a hard time keeping track of when these movies are coming out. Is that coming out in 2019, this part two?
Part two is, it's end of April,
Okay.
beginning of May,
Oh.
called Endgame.
That's right. That obviously, I hate to admit it, but I'm looking forward to, I mean, just we all are. We just have to find out what the frack happens, right?
It's the good guys make a comeback. It's what good guys do. And you want a story with struggle.
True. You have to have that second, what is it, the second act, yes, where there's a crisis. If everything's just all happiness all the time, no, everybody gets bored. Yes, you need that crisis.
Yeah, and this was a significant crisis with
Ooh.
50% of all life wiped out. How are they going to deal with that? How are they going to save the day? Because that's what heroes do.
Yes.
So I'm super excited for that. I very excited for Captain Marvel. I loved the predecessor to Carol, the Kree Captain Marvel, or two predecessors, the original. Because there's Proton, who was Captain Marvel, but that's complicated, and let's not go into that too far. But the Kree Captain Marvel, who I think Jude Law's playing,
Oh, okay.
because Carol was originally Miss Marvel, and she
Right.
eventually took the name of Captain Mar-Vell, shortest
Right.
name. So, which is kind of complicated to pull off, that you're going to have the story about Carol and how much of the original character are you skipping over,
Yeah.
which is a complicated character. It's all the fun 70s Jim Starlin Marvel comics, which if you haven't read any of those, some of them are super cool and very trippy. You know, you get Adam Warlock and Thanos, and it's just there's some good stuff there. So what they do with Endgame, there's a lot of inspiration they can pull from comic-wise, whether it's the Infinity Gauntlet story or, you know, how they, you know, the end of the Thanos War, where they stop Thanos and he's turned to stone. There's all kinds of,
Oh.
neat things. And I mean, I'm glad they didn't do the story with him as like literal lover of death
Yeah.
and everything, because then he's just a terrorist.
Yes. Although, again, just every time we talk about death as a character, this is a little bit off topic, but it is sci-fi. Terry Pratchett in his Discworld books has the best depiction of death. And it's actually so neat. And it's, I don't know. Sorry, that got a little bit off topic, but that is actually death in Discworld is really great because it's kind of, you know, it's still death, it still sucks, but it's actually much more understanding, kind of like we need this sort of thing. But yes, I know the whole lover of death Thanos angle is a bit creepier.
It is, and you know that's the problem with comic book villains being put on the big screen. If they're just want global annihilation or death for the sake of death, that's problematic. Having them want different things or like with Ant-Man and the Wasp, the Ghost really wasn't a villain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's somebody who's pushed to the end of her rope. Having,
or going back to Black Panther, which I keep talking about, Killmonger, that's part of what made that so great, is that you could actually be sympathetic to some of what Killmonger was saying. He was not just, yeah, a bad guy for the sake of being a bad guy.
Yes. Interesting issue with taking up arms against the United States, which would make him a traitor, but, you know, that's mm-hmm. other issues. But they do brilliant film. So I would be disappointed if it doesn't get a nomination. So,
yeah. I have to say, too, I just saw the news today. I think that the CW, is going to be doing a Batgirl series, I believe, with Ruby Rose. So that, I think that's right. Isn't that who Ruby Rose was playing?
There was Batwoman in the Elseworld crossover that they did. And I didn't know if they were going to have her appear again.
No, let me see. I'm trying to find this quickly. I saw it on Twitter. I even tweeted it out. Now I'm trying to get through all my other Twitter stuff. Man, it's hard to clear out your searches. Where'd that go? I'm pretty sure I'm right, though, on that. And I thought that would be really exciting.
They did. The Elseworld story that they did is a ton of fun. If you haven't seen it, it's self-contained, so you can just watch the crossovers starting on Flash, then Arrow, then Supergirl, and it's a ton of fun. They do good work. It's amazing what happens when you have people who love and respect the characters writing stories.
Yes, very much so.
It's almost like they want
Batwoman. Sorry, you're right. It is Batwoman, not Batgirl. Sorry to interrupt.
It's okay. Were they going to do a series with her?
Yeah, with a Game of Thrones director on the CW. Yeah.
Wow.
I know. They just announced it. It's a pilot, so we'll have to see. But hopefully.
Another female lead. That's cool.
I know, eh? Yes. Now we just need female lead of color. Have we had that at all? We're still working on that. Valkyrie is probably the closest we've gotten. Oh, Men in Black. I'm looking forward to the new Men in Black, too. I love the Chris Hemsworth, Tessa Thompson connection. So I have great hopes for that. I was always a big fan of the Men in Black movies.
And the fact you see Hemsworth throwing a hammer, that was hysterical. Yes. It's just like... good catch. Yeah, they have remarkable chemistry together. So that was a no-brainer. It's like, who should we get for this? How about them?
Yeah.
People throw lots of money to go see those two in action together. So
yes.
So lots of good stuff.
So see, 2019 is going to be a great year. That's right.
My secret hope as the history geek is to... that we get to see the 25th Amendment put into action again for appointing a new vice president and understanding the line of succession. I look forward to that. And
amen. See, now I know that's what your cape blog has to be about, some sort of history political blog where you wear capes from through the ages, right? Benjamin Franklin probably wore a cape, didn't he? Like, they all used to wear capes.
Well, Washington did, but I don't know if Franklin did.
That's right. Oh, I see Franklin wearing one. The ladies would like it. But that's totally it. That's your next blog. Sorry.
Yeah, I appreciate the vote of confidence. That's going to be tough to pull off, but thank you. Interesting. We'll think about that. I'm still looking for the right occasion that I can wear an ascot. So, cape is just, it's really raising the bar there, Jess. I don't know how to pull that one off.
You gotta set goals for 2019, Josh. Make that a goal.
Where can I wear a cape?
I need to wear more capes. I'm adding that to my list.
I could see you pulling it off at some gala, but if I have a cape, then I need the three-corner hat, and then I need the horse, and it's just, costs get excessive very, very quickly. Details. Everyone, we hope to see you at events. We'll keep you posted on what we're doing. First up, Steve Chu and I will be at Pasadena Comic Con at the end of January. We'll do Star Wars Law. And there could be March, we'll be busy. with Comic Fest, and hopefully we get into WonderCon. So stay tuned, true believers, stay tuned. And with that,
stay strong through 2019.
Subpoena
it's gonna be better.
Yeah, C-SPAN's gonna be like WrestleMania for political junkies. So it's let the games begin.
Oh yeah, so may the odds forever be in your favor.
I have faith. So with that, everyone stay geeky, America.